Alright. Today is June 7th. It's about 10 a.m. This is Kelly Moore, and I'm with Addie Sy, and we're doing an audio tour. We're taking a walk from the corner of Mandel and Bernard over to the labyrinth of St. Thomas. Addie, you want to say something?
And my name is Addie, and Kelly and I have been friends for a few years now, and so we decided we would take this walk together and have a kind of conversation while we take you over to the University of St. Thomas. To our left is the Menil Collection.
We're headed east on Bernard.
And we're about to pass another stroller. About 10 o'clock in the morning, so it hasn't gotten too terribly hot yet.
Not terribly hot. I think that you might be able to hear in the background a little bit of rattling, and that's my wheelchair. I'm in a wheelchair. It looks like a manual chair, the kind that when you sit in it, you push on the rims of the wheels to move, but mine has a battery on it as well to give me kind of an extra kick over bumps and things. Sometimes you might hear a clunking noise. It's about to come. Hold on. Here it comes. And that's when I'm going over a bump in the sidewalk. And Addie is next to me. I'm about at chest height to her. I just got this wheelchair about a year and a half ago, and it really changed things for me because getting this wheelchair made me able to actually just leave my house and go for a walk. I'm going to cross the street here over to the Menil Collection side. I live in this neighborhood, and so I kind of know where all the bumps in the sidewalk are. Let's go over to the left side here. It's a little better. I know where all the bumps in the sidewalk are and all of the curb ramps for going up and down from the street to the sidewalk. The ones that work and don't work, there's some giant sort of gutters between the curb and the street that make it kind of impossible. And so I have my own prescribed path to go through that's the easiest for me. But I've taken this walk so often that it's kind of become like a path, a familiar thought path through my mind. We've taken this walk together before, haven't we, Addie?
We have, and that's another thing I was going to say is that, before Kelly got this new wheelchair, I was so used to, assisting her. And so as we were walking, I was pushing the manual wheelchair. And so when she first got this new one, it was kind of a trip to realize that I didn't have a job. And so now I could stand next to her and sort of match our paces together. And, it was an interesting transition, but it's really nice. So now we both get to walk side by side. So that's been sort of a new transition in our friendship.
It's very nice to be able to look each other in the face when we're talking and... Hold on, I'm just sort of maneuvering a curb ramp here. We're crossing Mulberry Street. We're still on Bernard, and we're passing by the Menil Park. There are a few benches in the park, and there's about five people sitting on a couple of benches together talking. It's mostly empty. You can see some orange cats wandering around in the grass a lot of times, stalking birds, and sometimes you can see a certain kind of bird. What's it called? It's a really tall bird, a long-legged bird that kind of stalks through the grass.
Huh.
And then a lot of times you can see the orange cat circling around them.
Oh,
they're never going to catch them. But it's really nice to be able to go on a walk side by side with a friend and to feel like I'm I'm under my own power. There's something very satisfying about that. And I can watch the rhythm of Addie's legs and watch the rhythm of my arms on my wheels and feel like we're matching each other in a certain way. And it's just very different than being pushed in a wheelchair. I actually grew up with a family that's very active and outdoorsy, and we used to go hiking or camping, rafting, swimming, one of those things almost every weekend. And I was kind of carted around on somebody's back pretty much everywhere we went, and lots of adventures, and it just sort of seemed like an important part of life to me. And so as I grew up into an adult, learning how to make my life as independent as possible, I have looked for ways to recreate that for myself. And I found that the older I get, the less satisfying it is to let anybody do anything for me. And there's something very nice about using your body to exert it in a certain way. And when you're done, you go home, you lay down in bed, you can feel like your muscles are almost vibrating, like you know your potential energy. There's something really nice about that. We're passing by the Ratha Chapel on our left. I would stop and sit there normally and stare at the pond a little bit. We're headed to the labyrinth.
So what was it like the first time that you actually took your wheelchair out for a walk by yourself? Because I'm guessing that was this the first time that you were really able to do that ever? Or, you know, were there other kinds of wheelchairs you've had where you've, you know, been able to you know, walk around without needing someone to push you? I mean, I know that you push your own wheelchair, but not with as much ease as this one.
Yeah. I'm turning left. We're turning left here on Yupon, going north on Yupon. Well, at different times, when I was in college, I had an electric wheelchair that was the kind that it kind of looks like a recliner on wheels. You might see a lot of old people in them, or maybe you've seen the Hover Round commercials. That's what I had, I think, because it was something that somebody could get for free or very cheap. But anyway, it's very different. If you hear the rattling of my wheelchair now, there was a lot of noise that wheelchair made. And there's a lot of furniture and machinery between you and the ground, and you're kind of pushing a joystick, kind of like you might see on an old video game. And so it feels like you're more machine than body moving around in a wheelchair like that. And for some people, that's what they need. But for me, I like, because I have this strength to use my arms, I like to be able to have as minimal machine as possible, and it just feels a little bit more like I'm really going for a walk.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, as we're talking about matching paces, which, you know, you always have to do, even with, which way are we going?
We're
going to
turn right on Solroth. We're going right on Solroth, going east.
I remember the first time we took this walk, when you just got in the wheelchair, that I actually started going super fast, and then realizing that, you know, I need to kind of calm down and be aware of, like, you know, the other body that is with me on this journey. And so now we're quite good at it, and I've actually kept pace with her, and she's kept pace with me the entire time. So there's also really nice, and I think this happens with, you know, with any two people that are walking, is that you slowly kind of negotiate the terrain so that you can have the experience together.
Yeah, I think there is a difference for me in the experience of walking, that I can, now that I'm used to the wheelchair, I can let go a bit and just let my muscle memory move me along. But when I you were asking me what it was like the first time I used a wheelchair. When I first got it, I was scared because I didn't know if I was going to get stuck somewhere by myself at some bump or ramp that I would have to ask a stranger to help me over. And I do spend a lot of time staring right at the ground in front of me to make sure that I'm not going to hit something that's going to project me out of my wheelchair. But there is a lot of time that I spend staring at the ground. That I think that it can be kind of a meditative space to be looking at what's right up ahead of you instead of sort of circling around in the air around you. What about you, Addie? What kind of things happen to you when you go for a walk?
You know, it's taken me some time to sort of get back into the rhythm of walking by myself. You know, I usually like to feel really independent, and you know, when I've gone to Tango, for example, a lot of the places that I would go are walking distance, and I would walk, you know, any time of night, and they were never really long walks, so I felt okay until about a year ago in May. I was carjacked in front of the Stanford laundromat, 8 o'clock in the morning, and there were 10 people in the laundromat that sort of watched it happen, and everything at that moment that was important to me pretty much was in my car. My clothes, I had dropped them off the service, so I really had picked them up, put them in the trunk, so my computer was in there, my phone was in there, pretty much everything but my wallet. And so I've slowly sort of figured out a way to kind of give a protective shield in how I project myself out into the city to be more on guard and to, you know different things about how I imagine what people are doing. So now if somebody's suspicious, I don't just walk next to them. I make sure to, you know, get as far away from them as possible, to not look at them, to not give them eye contact. And so, you know, so that's also been part of my experience with, like, reacclimating myself to the city after something like that's happened. And, I mean, do you ever get freaked out being exposed, being by yourself, like, wheeling around? I mean,
I do. I should say that we're on St. Thomas campus now. We are on the big St. Thomas crest, and we're turning left on a small sort of street or walkway. We're going north on it toward the labyrinth. Addie and I, we've actually talked a lot about this sense of feeling exposed walking around in the city. For me, because in a regular manual wheelchair, it's difficult for me to push myself long distances. I have always relied a lot on my car, and my car, I mean, when I turned 16 and got a license, it was just freedom, it was power, and I'm just used to being able to throw my wheelchair in and seal myself up in my shell and go where I want to go, and Houston seemed like a great city to move to for that, because that's what everybody does. But this being able to go out and go for a walk, I do feel exposed, and you can see that I'm different than everybody else out in the world, and there's a certain vulnerability, a visible vulnerability that I have because of my wheelchair. We're here at the labyrinth. And I guess we'll just sort of walk into the labyrinth. It's right next to the chapel, which is a really beautiful chapel. And there's a gravel path that leads into the labyrinth. And this is a place that, even though it is kind of cordoned off by buildings on three sides of it, and trees and water fountains on the other side, I think I would feel a little funny coming here by myself. Because of that sense of exposure. You come here by yourself, haven't you, Eddie?
I have. You know, the last time that I took, I've actually only done this labyrinth one other time. A friend took me here about 4 years ago, I had just gotten out of a pretty devastating relationship that ended in an abortion. So I was feeling really removed from my body, and so she brought me here so that I can kind of reconnect to myself. And by the time I finished the labyrinth, I actually had started crying. So it was this really cathartic, kind of amazing experience. But I've never done the labyrinth along with someone, so I'm really excited to see what happens.
Do you want to walk right in front of me? Addie is holding the recorder.
I think maybe this time I should go behind you so that I can keep it in front of you.
Okay, that sounds good.
And you know, Kelly, you've talked a lot about sort of this relationship between a labyrinth and a maze and like how you experience that. So maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mentioned earlier about how I know all of the bumps and the holes and the lack of sidewalk in different areas. They become a kind of a landmarks for me that I negotiate around. But, you know, I'm always encountering new obstacles in the world. The urban environment is not really made for someone in a wheelchair so much. And so the world can feel like it's a maze that I'm traveling through. And, you know, if I'm in a real grumpy mood, it can feel like some bureaucratic power is out there just trying to thwart my every desire to go somewhere. But the difference between a labyrinth and the maze is that you can always trust your path when you're on your labyrinth, even though it's really difficult to know where it is you're actually going. Right now, the path that I'm on the labyrinth, it's a very intricate, snaky path. And I can look up and see where it's supposed to end, but I cannot tell at all how it's going to get there. And so you have to stare at the ground right in front of you and just follow it where it's going to go. And I've walked this labyrinth with a friend before, and she got a ways ahead of me, and it started to feel like possibly we were not even on the same path. She was in such a different place than me. But at the same time, there was this sense that the labyrinth was leading us in a kind of a dance together. And even though I'm aware that as I go through the world in my wheelchair, maybe sometimes looking like I'm struggling, or sometimes sitting in one place just sort of thinking, but people coming up to me and asking if I need help even though I don't need help, I'm very aware of how exposed I am to the world. But the labyrinth is sort of a good exercise in just sort of reminding yourself that you're on your own path and that you can sort of trust it. And it sort of just puts you inside your own head space and body space.
Yeah, I feel that way too. You know, there's this kind of meditative quality to the labyrinth, because no matter which path you start out, there are a couple of different options. You always end up in the same place, in the center. And so, and the path itself, it's straight, but it curves. And so it allows you just the amount of focus you need to also be present to your body, be present to, you know, different things that you may not even be knowing are happening consciously, your alignment, you know, your pace, your balance, so that your mind can really sort of meditate on things that are, you know, are in your life right now that you're processing. And, you know, so there's this constant kind of juggling back and forth that feels really organic to me, between, you know, the focusing on the path in front of you and, you know, where you are psychically as that's happening as a form of meditation.
Right now we're taking a big sweep around the outside of the labyrinth, You can hear the cars rushing past on the street just beyond the water fountains. The campus is empty today because it's summertime.
There's actually a tiny breeze. You can feel it a little bit. And there are these three small fountains sort of in a triangle shape to our left that I always feel like when I'm around rushing water that I feel a sense of calm. And so I think just being able to hear that while I'm going on the labyrinth also gives me a sense of peace, you know.
Oh yes, definitely. And on a hot day, it's really nice to dip your feet in the water fountains. The labyrinth is made of these stones, and so the sun can kind of reflect off of them onto your skin. And so it's not always the most pleasant walk, but today feels pretty good. It's slightly cloudy out.
And it's really nice to do this labyrinth with someone. It's a very different experience than I have by myself. You know, I'm not only thinking about, where I am psychically on my journey, but also, Kelly and I have been friends for a long time, and we've sort of learned about each other's vulnerability and each other's, just places of frailty and strength. And she and I have both grown in different ways together, and so now when I'm walking this labyrinth, I'm very aware of her body and her wheelchair, as she's probably aware of my body behind her. And that has a really nice kind of feeling of joint unity,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a sense of, I definitely have a sense of the sounds of my wheelchair and the rattling of it and the weird grunting noises that it makes when I stop and turn a corner. But at the same time, there's a sort of constant rhythm in the way that we're moving through the labyrinth that has a kind of gracefulness to it, I think.
Now we're at the center of the labyrinth, so we've made it all the way through. And there's the perfect timing. There's the chapel bell. It's to our left.
Yeah, we made it. Well, I hope one day you're able to take this labyrinth yourself and have a good experience with it. Thanks for listening to our audio tour.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm very bad at